The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
BBC claims to be the pinnacle of impartial reporting. But what if there was an internal dossier that revealed that wasn't the case? The Telegraph has seen a letter that reveals one of the BBC's own independent advisers repeatedly warned that the broadcaster had serious and systemic problems. A week before the US election, BBC Panorama released a documentary called Trump, A Second Chance, and in it, they played the following clip.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you, and we fight. We fight like hell.
But Trump didn't, in fact, say this at all. The BBC spliced together two clips that took place 54 minutes apart. So let's go through it again.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you.
Now, see there, between Capitol and, that's a cut. Here's what Trump actually said.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
It's different. It wasn't until nearly an hour later that he then said the second part of the BBC's version.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we fight. We fight like hell.
I've just got this in. This is just breaking news, Emma, which relates to this story. We're just hearing that the BBC has apologised to Donald Trump over the editing of a speech which appeared on Panorama in 2024, adding it was an error of judgment and the programme will not be broadcast again in this form on any BBC platform. So that's the BBC apologising directly to the President of the United States over the editing of a speech that appeared on Panorama in 2024. But Emma, by the sounds of it, there might be another apology to make.
Yeah, so that was the one that's caused such a furore over the last week or so that resulted on Sunday night in the Director General of the BBC, the big boss, Tim Davey, resigning. Also, the Chief Executive of BBC News, Deborah Turness, both of those leaving their roles. A live guest, straight after that speech was played out on Newsnight, pointed out that it had been cut incorrectly, changing the meaning. And according to The Telegraph, nothing was done on air to, say, apologise or to address that. Yes. The timing here is absolutely crucial because a lawyer for Donald Trump threatened to sue the BBC for a whopping $1 billion, saying they needed an apology. Well, we got that now, haven't we?
We sure have. The BBC apologising to Donald Trump. As we keep saying, the tables have definitely turned. And just to focus in on BBC for a moment, the reason people in Britain are so upset is because it's funded by taxpayers. Imagine paying the government to produce propaganda, paying the government to lie to your face. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week. We appreciate having you on board with the fast-moving events from 1 week to the next. The live stream of this show is available at the website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Friday show means that we have World Watch lined up. We'll probably reserve that for the last bit of the show, as we've been doing lately. So this was planned, right? We received news this week that they actually spliced this footage and put it together a couple years ago as well. But the one about last year, it's a week before the election. And as I was telling the team this morning, why do you even need to doctor the footage, the speech, January 6th? I mean, they've been telling us ever since that this was an insurrection incited by Donald Trump. and they know it's not true. They know it. That's why they lie to you. That's why they take the, and CBS got caught doing it. They all do it. My father makes the point in America Under Attack that the media, the regime media, the ones that, swooned before the dear leader years ago, they're complicit in this attack on Trump, in the cover-up of the stolen election. Just so many lies. It's easy when you, in fact, I've had some BBC clips for the last several programs. Haven't gotten around to playing them. Because initially when you see it, you just roll your eyes and say, well, that's what they do. That's just what they do. We're living in a world where it's just filled with deceit and lies, just as your Bible said that it would be. I'll give you the scriptures later. But, you know, God doesn't roll his eyes at this. God, it says in the Proverbs that he hates lying. He hates it. He hates all this fakery. Joel Hilliker's morning brief, by the way, he talked about the billions of dollars that are just being poured into artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. How about that for a title? Cheap AI tools are helping criminals in all sorts of ways, Axios reports today. Well, surprise, surprise, the technology is actually being used for evil designs, for crime. Are you surprised? Some of it's just funny. The number one and number three most downloaded country songs in America right now were written and performed entirely by artificial intelligence. Written and performed. I've got to get into this. I haven't even ventured into the world of AI yet. But if you can create music, I got to start making my music using AI to make some music. I mean, it could be a runaway bestseller. It says here, people are gobbling up tracks from computer-generated artists, quote-unquote, Breaking Rust and Kane Walker. People love them some Breaking Rust. This one's from, again, the Morning Brief. A Pakistani newspaper was having AI write its articles. How do we know? This was the final paragraph of one of its articles on Wednesday. And the AI says, if you want, I can also create an even snappier front page style version with punchy one-line stats and a bold infographic-ready layout. They forgot to delete that from the article. That's the AI saying, hey, I could do it a little differently. If you want a snappy introduction or whatever, I can rework it. And that goes into a Pakistani newspaper. It's totally fake. It's made up. There's an article in this latest issue of The Trumpet, by the way, and I mentioned it yesterday. The talk about this religious revival you can see on the cover. Is America's religious revival for real? Is it for real? I mean, people are going to Sunday observances now 26 times out of the year. Yeah, they're only missing 30-some services. They're almost at 50%. What a revival. Go back and look at yesterday's show if you want more on that. But there's an article in this issue, Ditch AI and Read Your Bible. That's pretty good advice. That's pretty good counsel. That's from The Trumpet. That's the kind of truth that you're going to get from thetrumpet.com. And that's what the world needs. This article, I'll just give you a bit. Where do you turn for answers? More and more people are turning to artificial intelligence. Millions of people ask AI chatbots questions each day. It has never been easier. You can type in any question and the bot will spit back an answer within seconds. But can you trust them? It says, if AI struggles with current news, what about spiritual teachings? You see, what are you going to get from AI that expounds on the truth of God as revealed in the scriptures? Now you've got to go old school and get right back into the Bible. You know, we've been talking this week in Fundamentals of Theology about how that the whole world is deceived. How that Satan deceives the nations I think I might have mentioned this yesterday, but it's astounding to me how many scriptures bring this out. And talking about it in terms like what you just heard, the world, entire nations. God's not saying, well, this person over here, BBC, they tell a lot of lies. This one over here, they all are in on it. And that's because of what happened prehistorically. Satan's great rebellion, Lucifer. He wanted to overthrow God. He was trained at God's headquarters. And he rebelled against his maker, his creator. And he's still the God of this world. And this is all according to God's purpose and plan. He's to be left on that throne for 6,000 years. And then you look at what God did in Genesis 3, how that we're cut off from the tree of life. And that's why the world's filled with deception. That's why there's so many lies. And God hates it. God hates it. God exposes it. It says, while AI offers several tools that, used properly, can be very effective, it can also be a potent threat to our mind. The human mind not only needs knowledge, it needs to learn how to acquire knowledge. There's a reason God recorded truth in a book. Besides teaching you truth, studying the Bible is also a character-building experience. You simply cannot read the Bible cover to cover and make sense of it. That's why we have Mystery of the Ages. God inspired that, as you've been hearing on this show. We put together a Key of David the other week, putting Mr. Armstrong and what he said to the sophomore class. Look, I don't feel like I even wrote this book. It came from God. Now, that's real intelligence. That's not artificial. That's not a bot or whatever they're called. That's the great creator of the universe. And even the material creation, as I've said, reveals a lot about the creator, about the maker. You immerse yourself into the Bible and you get to know God. It says, don't let this age of technological ease rob your mind of critical thinking or cheapen the exciting and wonderful experience of studying God's Word. Reading the Bible is a lifelong journey that transforms your mind and your life day by day, line by line, precept by precept. I mean, that's right out of Isaiah 28. That's the way God wants for us to learn. God wants us to break it down. God wants us to slow down. God wants us to read and study and ponder. Selah. Think on it. Stop and think. We need that every day to feed our minds with God's truth. He likens it to manna from heaven, hidden manna. Or in John 6, read that chapter sometime. About picking up every fragment, spiritually speaking, to just make sure, and the Bible talking about being hungry and thirsty for God's truth. We need to bring hunger into our study of God's Word. And if we do, I mean, He will satisfy that hunger. He will satisfy that hunger. In the Daily Mail, it says, the BBC has been accused of doctoring footage of a Donald Trump speech on Newsnight 2 years ago, before a similarly edited clip was shown on Panorama, footage of a speech given by the U.S. president on January 6, 2021. As I say, why would they need to doctor it? If it's so obvious, why would they need to put all those feds in the crowd? If it's so obvious, and if it was such a violent insurrection, why didn't those feds who were embedded into the crowd, hundreds of them, why didn't they stop the violence? Why didn't they stop the incursion? They were part of the plan. They were part of the attack. And all of that is discussed in this book, America Under Attack. And it's worth making this point from time to time. As I say, you can roll your eyes if you will. I mean, it's another lie from the BBC. America was nearly blotted out. That's the thing. And God intervened to save America. And he did it by the hand of Jeroboam. And today you've got the BBC, the great and mighty and powerful BBC, saying to Orange Hitler, you know, we're sorry. We did doctor the footage, and we're sorry. We don't want you to sue us for libel. So we really do apologize. And we also want you to know that our journalistic standards are sky high. I mean, they've never been higher. We are truth tellers. We're here to just present to the British people and the world just the truth about Donald Trump or Israel or Hamas. Really? Listen to this from that Telegraph report exposing BBC. This is clip 7.
Irrespective of your personal views on Trump, the question remains, how is a national broadcaster funded by taxpayers on the premise that it will provide impartial reporting allowed to splice together content in a way that one of its own advisors said materially misled viewers? And we're not even done yet. The footage Panorama showed of the Proud Boys marching towards the Capitol building, seemingly spurred on by Trump's rousing speech, well, that was actually taken before he'd even addressed the crowd. In fact, the BBC themselves later published a report at odds with Panorama's own timeline.
These are the Proud Boys, another right-wing militia, seen a little earlier that morning.
Out of your boy!
Donald Trump will not appear for another hour or so, but they're already heading towards the Capitol.
They even time-stamped the footage to show that the march began at 10:58 a.m., well before Trump's midday speech. The true chronology raises serious questions about the way in which the BBC decided to portray the events of January the 6th. In fact, the memo highlights that shortly after the first extract of Trump's speech, the now president actually said,
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
The BBC advisor who wrote this report claimed Panorama's editing was completely misleading, as Trump did not explicitly exhort supporters to go down and fight at Capitol Hill. They even pointed out that this was a key reason why he didn't face federal charges for incitement to riot. The BBC's Editorial Guidelines and Standards Committee member who wrote this memo raised all of these concerns, among others, with the BBC executive, but they were dismissed, ignored, and even accused of cherry-picking. But this isn't the first time we've seen the BBC criticised for selective editing. But if members of its own editorial standards committee have no faith in the broadcaster, you have to ask, should we?
Someone comes forward, blows the whistle, and they just ignore it. They don't come out and apologize until, well, they're exposed like this by the Telegraph and then threatened with a lawsuit. And then, only then, will they express any bit of remorse? And yet even then, it's just fake. Because in the same apology, they'll talk about how it was just an innocent mistake. And yeah, well, I mean, it always goes in one direction, as we know. But it was an innocent mistake, and all of our reporters are so honest. They're just driven by purity and truth, nothing more. They're completely impartial in their reporting and their coverage. You know what's upsetting about this? I mean, more than the just outright blatant lying and propaganda is that even when people like the Telegraph expose it, you heard what he said at the start, never, whatever your personal views might be, and then they don't even come out and denounce the fact that it was no insurrection at all and that the whole point of that day was to contest the results of a stolen or fraudulent election. They still can't go there. That's the reason the media, these corrupt actors in the media, blew it up on January 6th. Because they knew Ted Cruz and some of the others were going to contest. Because there was so much cheating going on. I mean, I saw a bar graph the other day. You've got, okay, the Dear Leader, 69 million popular votes. Then for re-election, 65 million. And then what was it with Hillary? Somewhere in the 60s. And then, man, you got 80-some million for the fake president. And then for Kamala, it comes back down to 69 million. It's a fraud. Just look at the numbers. Just look at the shenanigans. Look at the rules that were changed. Look at the COVID scaremongering. This is a huge story. As it is, though, Telegraph's got to have it very narrowly focused on BBC doctoring footage. There's your big expose. No, no, it's bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. Why would the BBC need to doctor the footage? Because they know. They know. They're part of the attack. They're radical left-wingers. They're communists at heart. They hate Israel. They hate America. They hate Britain. And they certainly hate Orange Hitler. And so it affects everything that they say. All of their reporting, all of it's seen through that prism. Listen to Joe Rogan's reaction to this scandal, clip 8.
The head of BBC had to resign because they took a film of Trump from January 6th, the speech that he gave, and they edited it so something that he said 52 minutes later, they put right after one he said something to make it look like he was trying to get people to go attack people and fight at the Capitol.
He did that to you all the time.
But this one's, one's nuts. Not only is this one nuts, but this one is for a literal president of the greatest country the world's ever known. He's the president, and you're lying about what he said publicly, which is on the internet, which anybody could see. Like, it is the clearest, like, indication of how that woke was rotting people's brains. And is still. Is still, but just less. You know what I mean? I mean, it was on the march then, and they all felt like they had to go along with it. And so, and by any means necessary, we must make sure that, you know, so they decided to paint a different version of what he said.
BBC?
60 Minutes did it with the Kamala Harris right. interview, but they did it the other way. They made it look like she had a good answer. Which is like, it's so crazy. Like, you guys are supposed to be the news.
Right.
You're not supposed to be the propaganda arm of whatever party you support.
It is crazy. You're supposed to be reporting the news. Instead, they're just the propaganda arm of their political party. They're political activists. Listen to Brian Stelter as he tries to excuse this selective editing. Clip 9.
Right. Three things are going on simultaneously. You have this actual journalistic scandal about a bad edit, a big mistake, but in a small part of a big documentary. Then you also have this concerted political campaign, mostly from conservatives in the UK, to undermine the BBC, to challenge its dominance in Britain. You also have some of the BBC's big media rivals who are feasting right now on the BBC and sometimes maybe trying to even gain or steal some market share. And then the third thing going on, of course, is the BBC's business model under tremendous pressure right now. The license fees that it receives from British taxpayers might be challenged in the coming years. You know, that's what makes the BBC unique in Britain. It's the license fee structure. It's the idea that everybody pays into the system. And that is under a real threat right now because of this political campaign. But look, when a newsroom at the BBC makes a self-inflicted wound, a screw-up like this, it does draw all the wrong kind of attention to the organization more broadly. And that's what we're seeing right now from Trump and everywhere else.
The only time he uses the word political is when he's talking about the people criticizing BBC. No, the political motivation here is in the BBC propaganda, in the BBC lies. So here comes Stelt. It's a mistake, but it's just a tiny, tiny part of a big, big, big documentary. There he is trying to just whitewash it away. Defending BBC. I mean, you need state-run media. As long as it's radical leftist media. And then Donald Trump gets in, and what do they all scream about? He's going to come after the media. He should go after the media. Hopefully he'll carry on in the suit against the BBC. It's the only way that you can get them to even hint at apologizing. A little bit of remorse, a little bit of repentance. The Telegraph says here, the BBC is facing its worst crisis in more than a decade after its director general and its head of news resigned. The senior staff, the global head of news content, are all under pressure to leave. On Sunday night, Mr. Trump, the U.S. president, thanked the Telegraph for exposing bias at the broadcaster, writing on Truth Social that it had exposed a terrible thing for democracy. And it goes on in quotes from Donald Trump's post. Here's the BBC News CEO after the resignation, clip two.
I would like to say it has been the privilege of my career to serve as the CEO of BBC News and to work with our brilliant team of journalists. I stepped down over the weekend because the buck stops with me. But I'd like to make one thing very clear. BBC News is not institutionally biased. That's why it's the world's most trusted news provider. And if you'd excuse me,
why did you fail to deal with the mistakes that were made?
And see my teams. Thank you so much.
Right, we're going now.
Do you think that the journalists are institutionally corrupt, Mike?
Thank you.
President Trump says. Do you think the journalists are corrupt?
Of course our journalists aren't corrupt. Our journalists are hardworking people who strive for impartiality, and I will stand by their journalism.
It's not institutionally biased. It's not corruption. She actually said we're the most trusted news provider. And she wasn't cracking a joke. The most trusted news provider. I mean, that's the jokes write themselves, right? This is from GB News on the scandal, clip three.
Well, 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 Tim Davie, the Director General of the BBC, has announced his resignation this evening amid allegations of bias at the corporation, it's understood. In a statement, Davie says, there have been some mistakes made. As Director General, I have to take ultimate responsibility. The move comes following a run of scandal to Britain's national broadcaster after it was accused of airing a misleading clip of a speech by the United States President Donald Trump and failing in its coverage of Gaza and trans issues. Look, the BBC has been embroiled in so many failures. We've got litanies of things like it. I don't know, even know where to start, Peter. But
yeah, it's just not one incident by any means. I'll get to the Gaza coverage here in just a second. But they've got an agenda. They're pro-Hamas. They're anti-Israel. And that movement is, as I've said on this show, it's becoming more and more mainstream. Switching over to Talk TV, this is their commentary on the BBC scandal, clip four.
Like where actual footage gets edited and chopped, and so blatantly so that then becomes apparent around the President Trump and making it look like he was inciting something when actually it was very different. That is beyond just having a sort of activist political position, yeah, which is bad enough. That is akin to completely misrepresenting everything and trying to present someone as being in the dock for something. And then, of course, we've seen that with reporting around Gaza. Absolutely. I mean, I've spent time in the edit suite working on documentaries that have gone out with PBS and others around the world. And the thing is, it's meticulously done. And even at a 24-hour news cycle, look, some things, mistakes can be made. They can be genuine mistakes. This is something where they've labored over the edit. They've thought about how to do something and present it. This has been constructed. It's not just something that's just kind of, oh, we missed that we got all this footage in, it was all happening on the spot, we couldn't quite see it. This is something where you step back and you evaluate something and you edit it to present a certain argument. It's so shocking, and it really makes us, I think the only good thing about all of this is that it's getting the public to really see that on a number of issues, it has not been about objectively reporting from, yeah, the questions that have been asked at those press releases, at those press conferences, all the way through COVID, all the way through those situations to contemporary coverage on all these issues. We're not getting fair, balanced interrogation, yep, you know, journalistic standards, mm-hmm, that we would expect. And, you know, many people still watch the BBC. On my mum's street, it's the go-to thing that people are watching. And it really is very concerning. And
he ties in the Gaza scandal as well. You know, and really what his commentary is saying, or the point that it's making, is that this is will worship. They worship their opinions. That's why the CEO, even as she's going out, even as she's on the way out, says that, you know, we're the most trusted source. Because she worships her opinions. It's will worship. And if you lie, if you twist and deceive and distort, and it's to carry out your opinion, well, that's okay. That's hopefully you can cover up the lying. And then when you can't, well, just come out and make a non-apology apology and say that we have the highest journalistic standards there are. And people trust us. And we work hard. And no one would ever, okay, we can make a mistake here and there, but it's always innocent. It's never on purpose. Play this from Sky News Australia, clip 5.
The story that brought this to a head was the revelation last week about how the BBC's Panorama program had edited US President Donald Trump's January the 6th speech to suggest he was encouraging the violence that followed. Have a look at the BBC edit and then Trump uncut and in context.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol and I'll be there with you. And we fight. We fight like hell. We're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
Yeah, that is clear and shocking. And we all know the game they were playing. And I've got to say, I was hardly surprised. As you know, I keep an eye on leftist media, lots of it taxpayer funded. And I notice this sort of deceitful editing and coverage all the time, and I share it with you. In Britain, this Trump example followed a series of other errors or cases of bias, including the BBC using the son of a Hamas official as a narrator in a program about the Gaza war.
The son of a Hamas official. He's talking about the Gaza war and what, he's just middle of the road, right? He's a moderate. The Telegraph reported on this as well. The BBC has been forced to correct two stories a week about the Gaza conflict since the October 7 attacks on Israel, the Telegraph can reveal. BBC Arabic has had to make 215 corrections and clarifications over the past 2 years on stories that were found to be biased, inaccurate, or misleading. This from the most trusted source in news. 215 corrections in 2 years. And it's always going in what direction? In the direction of Jew hatred. In the direction of supporting terrorist organizations. The figures follow a week of revelations by the Telegraph of one-sided reporting at the BBC, disclosed in an 8,000-word dossier compiled by a whistleblower, which also accused BBC Arabic of choosing to minimize Israeli suffering in the war in Gaza, to paint Israel as the aggressor. And these are the talking points. This is the agenda. As that commentator was saying from Australia, I mean, everybody knows what's going on here. You know why they are they going to selectively edit Donald Trump's speech to make him look peaceful? Because he actually said that in that January 6th speech. We're going to go, on the one hand, he says, we're going to go down to the Capitol. We're going to cheer them on. We're going to do it peacefully. And they change it to say, we're going to go down to the Capitol to fight them. It says the media bias campaign group obtained the corrections after more than 100 of its complaints over BBC Arabic's coverage were upheld. They work out as an average of 2 stories a week. 2 stories a week. Listen to this montage again from the Telegraph, clip 13.
Would you publicly accuse someone of a crime when you had no independent witnesses to it? Well, you almost certainly wouldn't, especially if you had prior knowledge of someone else being to blame. But that's exactly what the BBC has been accused of doing to Israel in this dossier. And the author of this dossier? Well, it's a former member of the broadcaster's own editorial standards committee. Whatever your personal views may be on the actions of Israel in Gaza, implying a country committed war crimes when there is evidence to the contrary has serious ramifications, not least because it could erode the credibility of genuine war crime claims at a later date. The dossier also reveals that BBC Arabic and BBC Gaza Today repeatedly platformed three individuals with anti-Semitic and pro-Hamas views. First, Ahmed Kanan, who described a gunman who killed four civilians and an Israeli police officer as a hero. Next, Sama Alzenan, who suggested Jews should be burned as Hitler did. And finally, Ahmed Alaga, who described Israelis as less than human and said Jews were devils. All three were described as journalists. In a public statement, the BBC said they were just eyewitnesses. But the dossier refutes this, saying most viewers would consider their hundreds of appearances to amount to the role of a journalist, one who is almost a part of the corporation's reporting team. And their list of concerns goes on and on. But there's one overriding theme that underlies all of them, and it can be best summarized in two short and damning quotes in the dossier. It reads, "It is hard to conclude anything other than that BBC Arabic's story treatment was designed to minimize Israeli suffering and paint Israel as the aggressor." And slightly later on, it says, "Claims against Israel seem to be raced to air or online without adequate checks, evidencing either carelessness or a desire always to believe the worst about Israel."
If it's against Israel, they race to get it on. No checks, nothing. If it fits their worldview, just put it on the air. Immediately. No fact-checking, no proofreading, nothing. Just get it out there. The larger point here, the reason why it's so serious is it's the media that's spearheading the insurrection in the case of January 6th and the stolen election and all those things. The BBC spearheading the Jew hatred in the UK. I mean, this guy here, this guy at the Telegraph, he's going to be busy. I guess he's fact-checking BBC constantly. Full-time job. He's probably got a team of fact-checkers. I mean, if they're turning in 215 stories on the Gaza war in 2 years that have to be corrected. In America Under Attack, it says, "Evidence of the devil's success is all around us. That's the real story of the political, social, and moral transformation of America. Satan's been influencing the minds of the elites, in particular, increasingly steering policy and shaping public discourse. Satan uses the media. Satan uses BBC. He uses Morning Meltdown. The mainstream media have been overcome by the devil." Well, that's a big statement. That's an America Under Attack. They've been overcome by the devil. They've surrendered to the devil. It says here, "This has influenced millions of people. Never has anything like this happened before. Never have Americans seen such a satanic aberration in their presidential politics." My father says the 2020 election was hacked, and it reduced America's entire electoral system to shambles. And it's all because of the radical left's unrestrained assault on America's democratic institutions and traditions, including the Constitution and the rule of law. He says thousands of people and institutions were directly or indirectly involved. Virtually all of America's top media organizations and personalities were complicit, as well as the powerful tech companies and many of the nation's top politicians. And so we've gone right down the line, going back to January 6th, and Donald Trump lost his voice and he was blotted off of social media. They were all complicit. And then the tables turned, didn't they? And you start to see the change in the tone. You know, President Trump gets back on social media. He's as accessible as any U.S. president ever has been. God did that. God's the one who brought him back. Man is the one that tried to destroy him, that tried to assassinate him, that tried to imprison him, that tried to blot out his voice. And well, they did for a time. And God just said, okay, that's enough of the bitter affliction. I don't want them to be entirely blotted out. I don't want their name to be blotted out. I want to give them one last chance to see just how sick the whole body is. Isaiah 3, I mean, it's head to toe. Well, I guess that's actually Isaiah 1, but Isaiah 3 is talking about sickness as well. And we're being led by a bunch of children, and there's no leaders. There's no strong, righteous leadership. A bunch of children telling lies. The top media organizations were complicit. How about that? It says, when Donald Trump was a presidential candidate in 2016, radical leftists targeted him, ridiculed him for saying the election could be rigged, and did all that they could with the collusion of a biased media to portray him as unfit for office. But they did much more. They committed serious crimes. The extent of their lawless activity took time to be uncovered, and surely some of it has yet to be fully exposed. Well, it's still being exposed today, isn't it? And as I say, you just wish that the Telegraph or whoever, that they'd step back and look at the bigger picture here. Even conservative media, they'll stop just short, and then they'll qualify their statement, their strong statements by, well, now, whatever your personal views might be about the election or Donald Trump, you know, it was wrong for BBC to splice together this footage and say, or maintain that Donald Trump said, we're going to go to the Capitol to fight them instead of go there in peace and to cheer on Ted Cruz. You wish they'd step back and say, well, if it's a fake insurrection, why was it faked? What was it meant to cover up? The truth about the stolen election, that's what. And look, this is a message that really, even to this day, it's pretty much in here alone. And in Jeroboam, Donald Trump's the only one that even brings it up still. The stolen election, I mean. He said the other day, the Democrats are good at a couple of things. They stay together and then they steal elections. Who else is even saying this? I mean, the big, explosive, bombshell story. At least it's in America Under Attack. You wish it was at the Telegraph. You wish it was at wherever else. Conservative media. Fox News. I mean, can you go just one step deeper at least? If BBC's trying to make it seem like an insurrection, what's going on here? Those people don't really believe it was, do they? No, they worship their narrative. They created the narrative. All of them were complicit. It says here, filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza produced a documentary in 2022 titled 2,000 Mules, exposing the Democrat strategy of stuffing drop boxes with mail-in ballots. And this was covered up by the media. It was dismissed. They were complicit in the fraud. If they're honest, objective reporters, why wouldn't they line up to see Dinesh's revelations and say, well, this does look fishy. I mean, after all, it is on video. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's similar to the BBC scandal. They made a fake video and they put it out there and said, this is real. And in the case of Dinesh, he actually had real video. And then people said, well, he's lying. He's not telling the truth. The video of the ballot box is being stuffed. I mean, I guess it's been spliced together somehow. I mean, this is right out of the mind of Satan the devil. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil. That's the world we live in. People just make it up. And then if they're fully exposed and they have to apologize, they say, listen, look, the buck stops with me, but just so that you know, we're the most trusted news organization in the world. We are. We are. We're not biased. We're not institutionally biased. No, we're objective. We're playing it straight. Democrats spent all 4 years of Mr. Trump's tenure trying to bring him down, and in the election, they finally succeeded. Politicians and the media did their best to cover it up, but God saw it all. What? You know, when God's kingdom is set up and established on this earth, and that's coming soon, thank God for that. And when he begins to lift the scales covering our eyes, I'm talking about humanity as a whole. I mean, people are going to be just embarrassed. They're going to be ashamed at how much they just consumed lies. You look at what Paul said to Timothy. This was in his last book, 2 Timothy 4. Notice this, the Apostle Paul. We've got some other verses. I'll get it. I guess I can get to them on Monday or maybe next week sometime. But look at Timothy here. 2 Timothy, Paul's about to be executed. He's telling Timothy, you know, get ready. You better get out there and train soldiers spiritually. I mean, you're going to need more help. And he says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, verse 2, he says, preach the word. Not artificial words or biased words. Just preach the word of God. It says, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Bible is such a wonderful book. It gives us loving correction, and we need it. We need to be corrected. We need God to guide our steps. Jeremiah 10, verses 23 and 24. We don't know the way. I mean, there's nothing good in man. Paul said that in Romans 7. Look it up. There's nothing good. And here you hear people giving an apology saying, but just so that you know, I'm really good. And they're all good. Everybody in the newsroom is good. The world, it's good. And God's assessment is very different, isn't it? How could the Apostle Paul, one of the most righteous servants in human history, after his repentance and conversion to the truth, how could he write in Romans 7 that there is no good in me? Because he was a humble student of God's word, and he was easily correctable. And he was constantly working to improve and to overcome and to put away sin and to grow. This is him describing the world today. He says, for the time will come, Timothy, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They just won't put up with it. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We got to go and get teachers, rulers, the elites that are going to tell us what we want to hear. Not what sound doctrine, not the truth. They've got to give us a good message. Verse 4, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Well, that's what we're seeing, right? Turn your ears away from the truth and go and just believe the fables. Embrace the lies. Just kind of revel in the deception. Enjoy it. Hamas, good. Israel, Jews, bad. Just turn to that. It's not just the consumers of news that are doing that. It's the newsmakers or the news reporters. You know, Jesus came as a newscaster, and he he preached the truth. He spoke the truth. He gave the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And how did the world react to that? How did the world respond to that? What did the world do to the messenger, the one who brought the good news? Well, you know the answers to those questions. Jesus said, I came into this world as a light, but men rejected me because they love darkness. They love dwelling in darkness, spiritually speaking. This booklet, by the way, I haven't mentioned this very often, but Overcoming Satan, great little booklet, great little read. You can put it together with America Under Attack and delve deeply into the subject of this world and why it is the way it is and what God expects for us to do to come out of this world. That's all we have time for on today's show. We've got to leave a few minutes for this week's installment of World Watch. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.
The U.S. military plans to send a contingent of troops to an airbase at Syria's capital, Damascus, Reuters reported on November 5th, part of a plan to monitor a Syria-Israel ceasefire agreement. Syria and the U.S. have been long-standing enemies, but after Bashar Assad's regime fell in December 2024, U.S. President Donald Trump has pushed to develop relations with the new Syrian president, Ahmed al-Sharaa. On November 10th, Sharaa became the first Syrian head of state to visit the U.S. president in Washington, despite Sharaa's previous designation as a terrorist and affiliations with al-Qaeda. Psalm 83 prophesies that Syria, under the ancient name Hagarenes, will join an end-time alliance formed so that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Prophetically, the name of Israel includes the United States. For more information on current and future U.S.-Syria relations, read Making Peace with Jihadists in Suits. Turkey is finalizing plans to deploy 2,000 soldiers to Gaza as peacekeepers, according to Middle East Eye. Turkish officials stated that almost 1,000 Turkish soldiers have already volunteered for the project. Israel, which has tens of thousands of troops in Gaza to fight Hamas terrorists, opposes the Turkish deployment, even though the U.S. supports it. Israel controls half of Gaza, blockades its coastline, and coordinates with Egypt over the Egypt-Gaza border. Aside from isolated pockets directly controlled by Hamas fighters, nothing happens in Gaza without going through the Israel Defense Forces. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has repeatedly used Palestinian causes to show animosity towards Israel. If he unilaterally deploys the Turkish military to Gaza, he will essentially be declaring war. To learn what the Bible says regarding Turkey's future and its role in the downfall of the modern nations of Israel, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Turkey is Going to Betray America. Britain has taken the unprecedented step of cutting off the U.S. from its intelligence about the Caribbean region. The British government has cited a 1966 UN International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights as the reason it will no longer share Caribbean area information with America, in case they use it to help stamp out the drug trade. Britain is increasingly choosing to subject national policy to overseas judges who are often appointed by hostile regimes like the Chinese Communist Party. This thinking has now driven yet another wedge between the British and the Americans, shortly after the BBC was exposed for interfering in the 2020 presidential election by deceptively editing Donald Trump's January 6th speech. Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury has warned about the danger of a divide between Britain and America. President Trump and others have tried to repair this broken special relationship, but radicals in both governments continue to drive them apart. To learn more about what prophecy says regarding the special relationship and shared fate of Britain and America, read The United States and Britain in Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.